Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about what's going on with the stock markets. On Friday the 10th of June, we saw markets falling all over the world. There is a major crash going on right now, and that is being driven fundamentally by what's going on with regards to inflation. Although high levels of inflation have been with us for some time, the markets had started to build up confidence over the last few weeks that central banks had started to get on top of inflation and we were going to see inflation starting to fall. And in April in the USA, we saw a reduction in the rate of inflation, and that gave everybody the hope that we were going to see a continued fall in that figure. However, the figures for May have just been released for the USA, and they increased at the highest rate since 1981. So this is the biggest movement for 40 years in the USA, and this has sent shockwaves all around the financial markets. So in today's video, I want to go through exactly what those figures showed for the USA, because the fundamentals that are coming out of those figures are the key factor. That's what everybody's focusing in on. This isn't a one-month spike, and we need to look at what is driving the high level of inflation right now. I'll then look at the financial markets and we'll talk through exactly what's happened and what some of the market commentators are saying their expectations are going forward. We'll then have a look at what's going on with regards to Europe, because I'm really concerned right now that the European Central Bank has not moved its rate of interest at all yet. It's still sitting at 0%. And when you look at what the rate of inflation is in a lot of the EU countries, it's really starting to get out of control. So we'll have a look at that data. We'll talk about what the outlook is for interest rates over the next 3 to 6 months, because interest rates obviously have a very big bearing on what's going on in the economy with regards to the amount of debt that we have right now. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think is likely to happen over the next 3 to 6 months in the global economy. So before we get into all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, and also to subscribe if you haven't done so already. I'm still on that push for 100,000. So if you can help out, that would be great. Don't forget, I always include chapters in these videos, so if there's a section you're not that interested in, it's really easy to skip through it. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon, and YouTube Super Thanks feature. The annual rate of inflation in the USA accelerated unexpectedly to 8.6% in May, the highest since December 1981 and ahead of market forecasts. On a 12-month basis, energy prices are now up 34.6%, which is the highest since September 2005. And this is driven predominantly by gasoline price increases of almost 49%, oil price increases of 107%, electricity, which is up 12%, and natural gas increases of over 30%. Food costs have risen by more than 10% over the last 12 months, and this is the highest movement since March 1981. However, one of the reasons that the markets have become so spooked is that the consumer price index increased by 1% in the month of May. And obviously, if you annualise that figure, it is significantly higher than 8.6%. Gasoline prices increased 4.1% in May after falling by more than 6% in April. And prices at the pumps have just recently gone above $5 per gallon, which is a new historic high. Natural gas prices were up 8% in the month of May, the biggest movement since October 2005, and electricity costs are up 1.3% in the month. Food prices increased 1.2%, and the cost of food consumed at home increased by 1.4%. which is the fifth straight increase of more than 1% that we've seen in 2022. One of the other concerns from the markets is the increase in rental prices. Owners' equivalent rent of primary residence, which is what a homeowner would receive from renting their home, increased by 0.6% in the month. This was the largest increase since August 1990. Rent is the biggest single expense for consumers and tends to be sticky and raises the prospect of a wage price spiral. And this is a major problem because record high house prices are forcing many people to remain as renters. Airline fares increased 12.6% in May and medical costs were up 0.4%. Core goods prices increased 0.7% as used cars and truck prices rebounded after declining for 3 straight months. New motor vehicle prices increased by 1% in May. Clothing prices increased 0.7% despite retailers holding excess merchandise. The head of US equities at Lazard Asset Management commented that consumers know these cost increases will not reverse, fueling demands for higher wages to make ends meet. With labour markets the tightest in decades, employers will have little choice other than to raise compensation, which in turn contributes to increasing services inflation. The Fed faces a mighty challenge breaking this potential wage price spiral. And in terms of when we can expect inflation to start coming down, the chief economist at EY Parthenon stated that the robust and broad-based CPI sequential momentum indicates the inflation slowdown through the year end will be anything but steep. So he's basically saying that we're going to see high levels of inflation for the rest of 2022. This table shows a snapshot of some of the financial markets on Friday the 10th of June, and you can see that it was a pretty bleak day, with more than 2% losses in a lot of indices around the world. The Nasdaq, which has a higher proportion of tech and growth stocks, performed particularly badly, falling by more than 3.5%, but the S&P 500 and the Dow Jones also fell by almost 3%. In Europe, it was a very similar story, with the Euro 50 falling by more than 3%, the FTSE 100 down over 2%, the DAX in Germany was down over 3%, and the French stock market was down by more than 2.5%. The chief market strategist, LPL Financial, stated that inflation data was disappointed and many hopes for a peak are now dashed. The fears over inflation and the potential impact of profits in corporate America are adding to the worry for investors here. A report from Capital Economics said, given that price pressures in the USA show little sign of easing, we doubt that the Fed will take its foot off the brakes anytime soon. We therefore suspect that more pain is yet in store for US asset markets, with Treasury yields rising further and the stock market remaining under pressure. The S&P index is now down 18.2% year to date and is approaching the 20% decline that many people consider to be a formal bear market. Fund managers are now moving more towards holding cash, and the chief equity market strategist at Federated Hermes confirmed that they are now sitting with a 6% cash portfolio, which is the largest allocation they have ever held. He commented that we're looking at a very difficult picture for financial markets for the next several months, and investors have to accept the consensus view was wrong and inflation is still a problem. He's now expecting a period of slowing growth and high inflation. Overall, 77% of fund managers expect stagflation in the economy over the next 12 months. Over the past 6 months, we have seen a variety of central banks increase interest rates to try to combat rising inflation. In the UK, we've seen 4 interest rate rises from the historic level of 0.1%. We are now sitting at 1%. And it's very likely that we will see more increases and potentially more rapid increases over the next 3 to 6 months. In the USA, it's exactly the same story. We saw an increase from 0.1% up to 0.5% in March. We've seen a follow-on increase to 1% in May. And it's now expected that the Fed will ramp up that program. Barclays are now predicting that in June in the USA, we will see a 75 basis point increase for the first time in 28 years. However, Goldman Sachs are forecasting that it will be a 50 basis point increase and that we will see another 50 basis point increase in July and August. The price of Fed funds future contracts give a 20% chance of a 75 basis point increase happening in June. And it's now highly likely that the US markets will see a 75 basis point increase by the end of July. The principal investment officer of Bond Fund of America has stated, I thought there was a reasonable chance that inflation had peaked at 8.5% and we would be on a steady downward trend through the rest of this year. But that has not played out. We are now back to a point where we're wondering if 250 basis point hikes and maybe a third 50 basis point hike is enough. So the expectations now in America is that we are going to see more increases in interest rates and they're going to come rapidly and they could be bigger than we originally expected. So it's now very likely that we will end the year with interest rates being above 2% in the USA. I want to talk about what's going on in the European Union. Now, for viewers outside of Europe, the European Union is a collection of 27 countries who've all agreed that their economic policies will be governed by a central body, the European Bank. So what that means is that the 27 countries in the Union can't make individual decisions about what's going on in their own country. And the European Union has been in the news a lot over the last few years because the UK decided that it wanted to exit from the European Union. A referendum was held a few years ago, and the people of the UK voted just in favour of leaving, and that was termed Brexit. And Brexit was a really big news event in the UK and Europe over the last 5 years or so. And that's now happened, and the UK is no longer in the European Union. And as a result of not being in the European Union, we've seen the UK increasing its interest rates 4 times over the last 6 months. However, the EU has made a collective decision to not move interest rates at all. And obviously, we've been aware of high levels of inflation for more than the last 6 months. So this is a really interesting move by the EU. Probably not the best move in my view, because let's have a look at what's been happening to the rates of inflation in all of those EU countries. This table shows the current rates of inflation for all of Europe. Now, some of the countries on this list are not in the European Union. Turkey and Moldova are not included. Estonia and Lithuania are both members of the EU. And you can see that inflation is now running at 20% and 19% respectively, and has increased again in the month of May. The next three EU countries on this list are Latvia, Czech Republic and Romania. And inflation is at 17%, 16% and 14.5%. And has increased further in May. In terms of the other EU countries, Poland now has an inflation rate of just under 14%. Slovakia has 12%. Greece and Hungary, 11%. Croatia, 9.5%. Cyprus, Belgium, Netherlands and Spain, 9%. And we've got a whole bunch of countries at 8%, including Slovenia, Austria, Portugal, Germany, Ireland and Denmark. But even in the EU countries that have slightly lower levels of inflation, such as Italy, Sweden, Norway and Malta, we are seeing month-on-month increases. So inflation is getting worse in all of these places in the EU. And I find it absolutely incredible that the EU has taken no action whatsoever with regards to interest rates. It would be understandable if the lion's share of the countries in the EU had very low rates of inflation and there were just a few outliers. Because obviously when you're making a decision for 27 different countries, you have to do what's right for the majority of those countries. But when you look at the inflation figures, all of the countries of the EU have got really high rates of inflation. I mean, it's happening all around the world, so you'd expect that every single country in the EU will be impacted by this. So it just doesn't seem to make any economic sense to me whatsoever that the EU is currently sitting on its hands and has decided not to move interest rates. If you have a look at what's happening in the US and the UK, we've seen interest rates being increased, and that has started to have an impact on inflation, but it's still rising. So it's not calming it down enough. And the likely outcome is that we're going to see more aggressive interest rate increases to try to keep the levels of inflation under check. But the EU is doing nothing about it. And there is a real risk that in some of these countries where we've already got double digit inflation, that it could become a runaway train and it will be very difficult to bring it back. And the major problem that the EU has is that when you're making decisions on a collective basis, it's very difficult to account for what's happening in each individual country. So when you've got a country such as France that only has inflation of around 5%, compared with Estonia and Lithuania, who are near to 20%, it's really difficult to be able to manage all of those economies simultaneously. Now, the EU has had its latest policy decision meeting, and it's made a decision to increase interest rates. But remarkably, that interest rate increase is not going to be affected until July, so they're really taking their time on this. The European Central Bank has now announced that it will end its asset purchase programme, which has been the main stimulus tool since the Eurozone debt crisis, and announced that it will raise interest rates by 25 basis points in July, and then move rates again in September, potentially by a bigger margin. So on the basis of this announcement, the European Central Bank is going to increase its interest rates to 0.5% by the end of September. And if you compare that to what the US is expecting, we're looking at potentially a 75 basis point increase over the next month or so. and then possibly two more increases of 50 basis points. So we could be at around 2% within the next 3 months in the USA, whereas the ECB is talking about getting to 0.5% in the next 3 or 4 months. And this is for a group of countries where inflation is above 10% for many of them. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because what's happening in the financial markets is a concern for everybody. And most of us have some form of investment in the financial markets, whether it be through your pension or fund investing or direct investing in stocks and shares. A lot of us have exposure. And it's concerning when you see red all over the markets, and particularly concerning when people are talking about a prolonged period of downturn and potential stagflation. And inflation is really the big problem that we're all facing right now. It's a really difficult conundrum to solve because inflation historically is solved by raising interest rates. But what's happening right now is that inflation is being driven by a lot of global external factors. Since Russia invaded Ukraine, we have seen a massive increase in oil prices, natural gas prices, coal prices, and a lot of commodities and a lot of food substances. And it's difficult to be able to solve that because some of those prices have gone up due to global shortages. So we've seen wheat being affected all around the world. And that's meant that demand for the export of wheat has gone up and the price of wheat has gone up. And it's likely that those prices will stay high. So in some ways, increasing interest rates won't be able to bring back that sort of inflation. But it will reduce demand in each individual country. It will discourage people to spend. If you've got debt and interest rates go up, then that means that you're paying more each month in terms of interest. You'll have less disposable income and therefore you'll do less. So you may go out to eat less. You may decide to downgrade what you're buying, go for cheaper options. And overall, there will be a contraction in spending, which should then reduce demand, which should reduce prices. So it will work on a localized level. But if the war carries on for the rest of 2022, then it's very likely that we will see oil prices staying high because the global supply of oil is a very finely balanced mechanism. And if Russia takes out its oil from the Western world, then that means that we've got reduced options in terms of purchasing oil, and it's likely that prices will go up further. So there are some very big macro issues at play here that won't be solved by individual movements in interest rates. Having said that, it's really the only mechanism that central banks have available to them. Most of the central banks have already announced that they're stopping their quantitative easing programs, so they're no longer printing money as such. So when we've got a situation like this, where we've got a combination of high inflation, increasing interest rates, and potential reduction in the economy, that's been termed stagflation when you've got inflation and stagnant economy. And that is not a good recipe for the stock markets, because that means that we'll have falling corporate profits and very likely that the stock markets will come down. So in terms of this video, I don't have a silver bullet. I don't have a magic answer in terms of how to solve this position. But what I wanted to do is just make sure that you're all aware of what's happening in the financial markets and the likelihood that we're going into a very turbulent 6 month period. So we could see a lot of volatility in the stock markets for the rest of 2022. And there is a possibility that we could see a significant fall in the stock markets. As those interest rates are passed through, then that could bring the markets down significantly. So hopefully you found this video interesting, useful, and informative. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me that thumbs up. And don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.